Okay. Welcome, everyone. We started recording the call, so we can get started. I just want to welcome you all and thank you all for coming to join me this afternoon. It's a beautiful snowy day in my little casita in the mountains, and I was sitting in a coffee house preparing this information. I just felt really excited to share it all over again, and so just begin by getting a little bit grounded, take a few deep breaths. I'm going to call in the directions here today to create a sacred container for us as we share this information in our community. Just take a few breaths and send a cord down into the earth, rooting yourself down into that heart of the earth. And another deep breath, send the cord up into the heavens, connecting in with the star or the sun. Feel yourself held between those two great beings. And I call on the direction to the south, all those beings and helpers that dwell there, the place of shedding our old stories, our old ways. I need to thank you for joining us today. I call on the direction of the west, the place of death, of transformation, all those spirits and helpers that live in that direction, be with us today. I need to thank you, thank you. I call to the direction of the north, the place of the ancestors, of the soul, of the wise ways of our soul, that soul journey that we are all on. I call on those helpers and spirits that live in the north to join us. And I call out to the direction of the east, to those helpers and beings that live in that land of the new beginning, of the rising sun. Join with us today as we begin this journey of renewal, as we get closer to the equinox, the spring equinox here in the northern hemisphere. So I want to call on the spirits of this land, the ancestors of this land where I'm living, and that big, beautiful mountain, Humphreys Peak, and all of the San Francisco peaks. Thank you, thank you, thank you. So, welcome. My name is Darcy. If you didn't already figure that out, I'm sure you have. I wanted to start with a little sharing. I drew a card this afternoon to kind of give me a little bit of insight into what to share and what information, what's to come through as a group. And I pulled the chamomile card, which is from the Druid Plant Oracle deck. I just want to read you what it said. It just was so perfect. I was just like, oh, yes, of course. So it's all about rest, guardianship, and regeneration. Chamomile brings calm, rest, and protection. If you have chosen this card, it means that you are entering or need to enter a calm phase in which you'll be able to connect again with your inner resources, both physical and spiritual. Our lives can be frenetic, that even when we do take time to rest, we find it hard to calm down. Chamomile helps us to do this. In addition, it is one of the St. John's wort plants, a term that was used for a number of herbs traditionally gathered on St. John's Day and originally probably at solstice in the summer. These plants convey the energy of summer sun, of regeneration and vitality. Without vitality, whatever we do is colored by a sense of fatigue or lack of enthusiasm. And choosing this card at this time suggests that you may need to focus on how you can regain your zest for life, the energy you need to cope with the demands of the life you have chosen. And it may also be suggesting a need to go back to basics, the simple things in life, or even return to the family and the nurturing it can offer. And to me, that just spoke so deeply to what I'm feeling in my own world, in my own life, of this returning to what really feeds my soul, what really feeds me deeply on a physical level and an emotional level and a spiritual level. And, you know, I decided to do this program, this renewal program, because I, on my own journey, you know, I've gone through some heartache and grief, and I got into bad habits with my self-care and my eating and exercise, and I knew it, and I knew better. But needless to say, I got into those habits, and I found myself at the grocery store one day. I just spent some money and bought some really nice groceries and food for myself, and I just found myself crying in the car because I couldn't remember the last time I had really gone to the store intentionally to buy, you know, meals and food that was really nourishing for my body. And I just was like, oh my gosh, how did I get so far off track? You know, I was busy, I was upset, I was hurting, I was grieving. All those things happen to us in our lives. And it's just a part of living, and it's not something that we need to flagellate ourselves for or feel guilty about, but it's what happens. We, you know, get challenged by life, by emotional upsets, by traumatic events, by busyness. Our work and our families keep us busy. And so it's easy to fall off the program, so to speak, that you know is good for you or right for your body. And in my shifting in my life where I'm moving into a new place, a new home, a new community, I really wanted to recommit to myself and to my self-care and the things that I do to take care of myself. And I wanted to invite my community along to join me because it's the time of year, it's the spring, right? And this is the time when we think of renewal, when we think of cleansing. And I want to speak a little bit about the difference between cleansing and rejuvenation. There's this big movement in the health community to do these cleanses and, like, do harsh purgatives and laxatives and, like, scrub clean the inside and make sure that, you know, everything is super squeaky clean. I think cleanses, in a lot of cases, can be too harsh, especially if you are malnourished or weakened or emotionally stressed. They're not actually going to feed and nourish and replenish the body to be healthy. What we need to do is rejuvenate, replenish, and nourish. And so that's where I come from in my work, is that I believe in nourishment, and I believe in rejuvenation. I believe in harsh cases of punishment or guilt or, you know, saying this is bad and so I should never eat this, and this is good so I can only eat this. Like, these kinds of hard and fast black and white rules don't really work as an individual, because our needs change as we change, but each of us is unique, and so you can't say one thing fits all people, right, in terms of what nourishes somebody. What I want to tell you, and what I believe, is really that the body is very wise, and we really need to learn in our culture, in our community, to listen to the body's wisdom, to connect with the intuition that our body has and its natural ability to heal itself. It's not about punishing your body for not doing what you want or punishing yourself emotionally because you haven't done the things you want, but turning inward and connecting with your heart, connecting with your body's wisdom to tell you what it is you need. And that is different for everybody. It's not anybody needs to be vegan or needs to be paleo, or, like, it's really different for each person. But we really need to learn to connect and trust the wisdom that our body holds. So the other thing I want to add is, like, a lot of times when we do get off of our self-care and our healthy choices that we know we want to make for ourselves, it's oftentimes because we're in times of challenge. At least that's been my journey recently. And by punishing and doing harsh cleansing, that it's just creating more challenge in our system, in our body, in our emotional state, rather than feeding and nourishing and bringing us back into love. And so as our spirits, our hearts, we respond to love. We move toward the love, and we tend to move away from those things that feel bad, that create fear, that create stress. And we don't want to instill that, like, fear and guilt and stress. We want to nourish. We want to move towards the love. We want to move towards joy in our healing process. So I have these 5 or 6, I'm not quite sure, guidelines that I came up with to kind of inspire us as we're reclaiming our health, reclaiming and recommitting to our self-care, One, there's no guilt needed. We don't need to feel guilty for what we've done in the past, and we don't need to punish ourselves for it. It's really unproductive, and it just creates a sense of stress and self-loathing, which is not beneficial in healing, right? The next one is to take baby steps. And this is what we're going to do in the renewal program, is make really small, achievable changes. It's really hard to maintain dramatic, huge lifestyle and diet and exercise changes all at once. It really, like, in all the years of practice and all of my own life, it's not really feasible to do massive, huge changes and stick with it. You have to start with small, little baby steps. And you add and you build on. And so don't try to do everything all at once really dramatically. You can choose small changes that will make a big difference. Finding joy. Like, none of this is going to work if you don't feel joyful about what you're doing. If you're dreading the diet that you've chosen, if you're dreading going to exercise because it's not something that you enjoy, it's not going to work. You're not going to stick with it, and it's not going to feed you for the long term. You have to connect with what makes you feel joyful and what feeds your spirit as well as your body. And again, connecting with your intuition and your heart, because nobody is the same as anybody else. And I can't tell you totally exactly what you need, especially not if we're not sitting in the room together. You have to be able to connect with what your wisdom is telling you about your needs. And so connecting with your heart and your intuition, especially in a society where everybody's telling you what's the right thing to do. The TV, the government, your family, like, we hear 20,000 different messages about what the right diet is or what the right kind of exercise or how we should live our lives. And really the only person that can tell us how to do that is us. And we have to connect with and trust our wisdom in that. Nourishing and celebrating, not punishing. We've covered that a little bit, but really celebrating the small changes, nourishing our bodies, nourishing our spirits, rather than feeling guilty or saying, oh, I didn't do my exercise today, I messed up. That's not, really not part of the deal here. Like, we're going to celebrate. We're going to say, hey, wow, I did this 5 times this week. That's awesome. You know, good for me. And it's really great to do that in community as we share it, right? And then finally, the last guideline is removing obstacle to cure. And this is something that I learned about when I was in herb school with Paul Bergner. And it's one of the principles of vitalist healing, which really is about nourishment and supporting the body and what it does. Is sometimes there are things in our lives, whether they be dietary things or lifestyle things or bad relationships or bad jobs that are soul sucking. Sometimes there are things which are actually obstacles to our healing and our process. And so that's not the first step we take. We always replenish and rejuvenate and heal the spirit and the body before we move into removing things. But there are oftentimes obstacles to our thing that needs to be removed. So that's the last step of the guidelines. So the 6 pillars that I have kind of developed for this class and the program, the renewal program, it's food, it's herbs, it's exercise, movement, it is connecting with our heart and our purpose here in our life, what our meaning to our lives is, connecting with nature and connecting with a spiritual practice or path that nourishes your spirit and your soul. We really are holistic beings, and I have seen over and over again in my practice and in working with my friends and my community that so much of healing is an emotional, spiritual shift. You can do the herbs and the diet and everything else all day long, but if there's a pattern, emotional pattern or emotional spiritual imprint that is affecting you, the healing can't quite fully come through. And so we really have to address all levels of our being, both physical, emotional, and energetic, spiritual. So this program and this class is going to talk about those different levels of rejuvenation and renewal. So a lot of times we find that we're really strong in some of these aspects and then we get disconnected from others. So I ask you the question right now. Just take a minute to connect in with your heart and your belly and that place of your wisdom and ask yourself, where am I disconnected in my life? What aspect is lacking? And you may find that there's one or two that are particularly obvious, and maybe it's all of them, or maybe there's just one that's really glaring, you know, sticking out to you. Just take note of where you're at. What are you disconnected from? And I'm going to talk a little bit about that. And sometimes we get disconnected from our physical body, and we get stuck in our head, and we run around in our head all day long, and then maybe it causes insomnia or stress that's just like through the roof, and our hormones are, you know, through the roof, and cortisol is out. So we get disconnected from our physical body. That's one place we can disconnect. Sometimes we get disconnected from our heart and our intuition and our inner wisdom. And that happens a lot when we start listening to everybody else, right? And we're taking everybody else's wisdom in, whether it's coming from family, friends, you know, the latest diet craze, something we saw on TV, a book we read. Not that those can't be useful and offer insights, but we have to return to connect with our own wisdom. So if we've been listening too much to outside ourselves, that's where we find that disconnect. In our culture, we are seriously disconnected from nature, and it's one of my, like, missions in my work in my life is to help people reconnect with nature. Because I feel like so much of our depression or despondency in our culture is this disconnect from nature. And it really brings us back into wholeness, and it brings us into relationship with the world around us, which is really important. And, you know, all of the things in nature can offer us wisdom and healing. And so we need to be able to be in relationship with nature in a way that's whole and that's true and that feeds us and feels good. So, and then spiritual practice. This is something that is really personal, and everybody has their own spiritual belief system, and I'm not here to tell you what to believe in. I have my personal path, which I share, and everybody else has their path, which they may keep private or they may choose to share something. But having a spiritual practice and a spiritual path is really, really an important part of being a human, because it is the place where we find nourishment and strength and resilience when things are challenging in our lives, when we're emotionally, you know, frazzled, or when we are challenged by our families or our stressed lives. Like, where do we turn to receive strength and resilience in the face of the challenges of being a human on this really challenging physical plane? Like, we can turn to spirit. It nourishes our spirit on a daily level. So that spiritual practice should be a daily thing. And, you know, it could be going to church once a week. It could be doing your daily 5-minute meditation. It doesn't matter what form you choose, as long as it feeds you, nourishes you, and gives you that strength that you need to be resilient in the face of life challenges. And that feeds you really deeply on a soul level. And then finally, our heart, our joy, our purpose here. We can do all of these things. We can do our exercise and eat the right food and take all the nourishing herbs we want. And if we're not feeling like we are clear in our path and what we're doing here, and we aren't sharing our innate gifts with the world, it can feel really disconnecting. It can feel like your life is uninspired, like you're going through the motions and you're just like, why do I even, you know, exist here? And I don't know if it's just me or if it's the time in my life, my age, but I sometimes have these existential moments of like, wow, what am I doing here? My mortality is more present in my mind. I notice, you know, people having children or people dying, and it's like that's more than the forefront of my mind is like, what is my purpose here? What am I doing with my time here? And how do I bring that out to share it with the world so that it can be in the world, and I feel fulfilled by sharing. So those are the six pillars of where we're going to work in the renewal program. In terms of food and nourishment, I want to just speak a little bit about this. Like what we do three times a day, the food that we eat day in and day out, that has a huge impact on our physical well-being, way more than taking herbs, way more than the vitamins that you take every day. Like these, your body is basically built from the building blocks of whatever foods that you consume. And this is not about what diet choices are right or wrong. It's not about the guilt, and it's not about one size fits all. But I really believe that whatever choices you make, they should be whole foods, you know, unrefined, unprocessed as much as possible, fresh, nutrient dense. So we're talking about, you know, quality of the food. What is more nutrient dense, you know, pasta or a whole grain bread, right? Pasta's been highly, highly refined. Whole grain bread has the nutrients that are in the grain present. So that's the nutrient density. So whole foods, you know, and really, like, you have to eat in accordance with your values and with what your heart is telling you. You cannot make choices about what you want to eat based on guilt, fear, or a sense of obligation. It really has to be in alignment for you. So if you really feel strongly about being vegetarian, you need to pursue that because that's what your spirit and your heart is telling you, and pursuing the things which are going to support your health on all the levels, right? The thing to remember about any food choices is we are eating life, whether it's plant, animal, or otherwise. And we really, it's more about being present and gratitude for that life that has given itself for us. And we can give back, be in right relationship by the choices that we make, all the ways that we operate in the world, by making sure that we're, you know, paying the farmer who lives down the road for his produce rather than some big corporate monster company, right? So these are things that I think about when we talk about food and nourishment. And then don't make yourself feel guilty for bad choices or things that haven't served you in the past, right? Let's say you've gotten into a habit of eating a pastry at the coffee shop three times a week. That was me, right? And I know that that's not good for me. I know that I shouldn't eat gluten, and I know that I have a sugar issue. And that became a habit, and I was like, wow, that's really... Why am I doing that? You know, so one, I had to look at why, what am I getting out of that? But also not beating myself up. I'm like, well, I made that choice, you know, and I'm dealing with the consequences of it, and I'm going to make better choices now. And that's really where it's at, is start making the choices that do serve and do feed you rather than dwelling on what you did that did not serve. And one thing I really want to say before we take things away, like, and sometimes, you know, if it's a gluten problem, you have to remove gluten from your diet or something like that. Before we take anything away from people in or from ourselves, we need to make sure we add in things that bring in nourishment and joy. You know, so before you take away the bread and the pasta and the crackers, what are you going to add in to your diet that's going to be nourishing and fulfilling to you? You know, maybe it's a certain kind of new, you know, grain-free homemade cookie that you can make, or something that will give you that feeling of, like, I'm not being denied something. I'm making a choice that's better for me right now. So I never wanted to take anything away before adding in substitutes, adding in things that feel good. Okay, checking time. Herbs. I'm an herbalist. I love the plants. They are amazing healers and amazing allies for us. And we're going to be talking a lot about herbs as physical medicines in this course, but they also are very big spiritual medicines and emotional medicines. So we're going to work with them primarily on the physical level, but they also include our spiritual practice and our nature practice. First thing is, I don't believe in harsh cleansers and laxatives. That's not what I do. If that's what you're looking for, that's not what I'm going to offer you. So I really believe in nourishment. So that's like starting with nourishing herbs every day. Like, you know, your Susan Weed nettle infusion, like you fill up your jar halfway full of nettles and hot water and you infuse it overnight. And it's deeply, deeply nourishing. Starting with those nourishing infusions, those nourishing herbs, those nourishing food level kinds of additions with herbs. It could be nettles, it could be ostra, it could be hawthorn, it could be linden, it could be any number of different nourishing plants that offer the body nutrients to be used and utilized for healthy function. I do believe in supporting the body in healthy detoxification processes. That means regular bowel movements. That means urinating regularly. It means sweating properly. It means drinking plenty of fluids so that the kidneys can detox. Our bodies know how to detox. We just need to give them the proper tools to do so. And yes, we live in a toxic world. And yes, there are things that we can't avoid and may need to be cleansed out at some time. But that needs to come after we've nourished and rejuvenated so that we have a strong ability to handle a difficult, challenging, stressful, potentially detoxification. So I use alternatives, roots and seeds that support the health and function of those detoxification processes. So, you know, dandelion and burdock and yellow dock to help with regularity, milk thistle for our liver, turmeric and other wonderful things for the kidneys. Shiganga is a great one. Dandelion is a good one. There's all these herbs that we can use to support those processes. We also have to address stress and emotional impact, right? So a lot of times we're coming into this because we've been in a state of emotional upset or stress and we've gotten off track. So what can we do with plant medicines to support ourselves in dealing with the stress and addressing emotional challenges? So we work with nervine, you know, rose and vervain and milky oats. Those are beautiful, beautiful herbs to kind of help calm the nervous system. There's skullcap, passion flower. There are so many nervines out there, each one appropriate for different kind of situation and person. And we'll go into more depth with that, but you know, something that I think oats, milky oat seed, and this is, you have to be careful if you're gluten intolerant, but milky oat seed tincture is one of my go-to medicines for just about anybody who's stressed out emotionally, grief, physical stress. It's so restorative to the nervous system and so nourishing. And I think it's Margie Flint who equated it at one time. I was sitting with her house, and she said, it's like mother's milk. Like, it's super, super nourishing on a very, like, primal level to our body and to our emotional state. So milky oats is a really good place to start. If you're gluten intolerant, I would probably try away from it. It depends on how you react to oats. So each person is unique in that regard. But if that doesn't work for you, one of the ones I really like is vervain or blue vervain. And it's great for people who tend to be stressed out, type A, over-driving, striving, hard kind of folks, to be men or women. And then we're going to talk about adaptogens and restoratives for the system. We're talking like ashwagandha, reishi mushrooms, astragalus, shiganga berries. These are all herbs that are used over the long term to kind of restore the endocrine system, which gets really out of whack when we stress, when we're emotionally stressed or when we've been malnourished because we've not been eating properly. If there's been insomnia, that's also another indication that the endocrine system can be out of whack. So we choose these restoratives. In Ayurvedic, they call them rasayanas. We use adaptogens to help our bodies adapt to stress. They're not used as a crutch to help us push through more stress. They're there to restore and support us as we're reclaiming and recommitting to the practices that nourish us on a daily basis. The other thing I want to say about herbs, like I'm an herbalist, so I have an opinion about this. Really, you got to work with whole plant medicine. I really don't believe in isolated extracts or capsules except in very rare situations. Teas, powders in your food, tinctures that are whole plant tinctures. If you really need a capsule because of convenience, make sure you're getting a whole plant capsule from a really good quality company. There's good stuff on the shelf. And I used to work in a health store, and I recognize that there are some companies which are great and they're doing really amazing things with plant medicine, and there's others that are not. So you just need to make sure you get a good one. But, you know, things like turmeric and ashwagandha oftentimes are easier for people to take in that form. But I really believe in whole plant medicine and working with the plants as closely to their original form as you can in your life. And you got to do it in a way that will work for you. So sometimes teas are not always going to work for every single person. Tinctures may be easier because of their convenience and so on and so forth. So we're going to, you know, talk about that in more detail. And then, of course, turning to your plant allies that are your spiritual and emotional helpers. Like, what plants can you call on to support you when you're in a moment of challenge? Like, you know, I work with a few plants. The corn, this is my little corn mother. That plant for me is just such a big spiritual helper. Whenever I am in a moment of challenge, I can call on that faith, you know, to the spirit of corn, like, can you offer me some assistance and nourishment and strength and tenderness, sweetness? And I find that it helps me. Turning to the plants in that way is really, really helpful. Joyful movement. This is something that in my life I've really struggled with exercising enough. And I've gone through periods where I was doing a lot of exercise and burnt myself out. I used to ride a bike and did a 100-mile bike race and just, like, totally tried myself on that. So you have to find movement that is sustainable for you, not burning yourself out, and too much exercise is really not productive for your adrenal system and your overall well-being. It has to work for you, it has to be sustainable, and it needs to bring you joy. You have to feel excited about it, otherwise you're not going to do it. And so you got to find out what feeds and motivates your spirit and your body. For me, it's going out in nature. And so I need to go out and hike. I need to go out and run around in the woods. I need to go collect plants. Those are the things that feed my spirit and which I just naturally want to do. I don't want to go to the gym. I hate going to the gym. I don't do it. I paid for memberships and then just, like, fully ignored it. So I don't do that. I don't believe in doing what doesn't work for me. Movement that is a part of my daily life. You know, get up and go for a walk while I'm collecting plant medicine, or, you know, lifting up some logs when I'm stacking wood. You know, that kind of stuff that's a daily movement in your daily life. If you sit in front of a computer all day for your job, and I actually sit a lot and hang out in my kitchen and make stuff, so I'm not running around all day. You have to make a point of finding time for that. But it's got to nourish you on the spiritual and emotional level, too. It's important to vary your choices. I don't think doing the same thing every day is going to work for most of us. We get bored. We have to stay connected to making it joyful. Dancing, yoga, hiking, swimming, whether it's doing something like CrossFit that challenges you on multiple levels, doing in-home videos because you don't feel like you're able to do this in public or in a group setting. That's totally okay. Do it with your kids. Do it with your partner. What is it that will make you feel joyful about it and want to move? And then starting with baby steps. This is really important, especially if you're new to exercising or you're in a current health state, which is, you know, you've been sedentary for a long time. You don't want to get up and go run in the woods for 3 miles right off the bat. That's not going to work. You have to start with small baby steps, right? We talked about that earlier. Starting a new routine is much easier to do in small chunks. So if you want to start doing yoga, your commitment is more like, I'm going to do yoga for 10 minutes every day this week, not I'm going to go to yoga for an hour and a half every day at the end of the year, because that's just near impossible to start. It's a huge change. It's a huge schedule impact. It's just in your body. It's like, whoa, this is new. What am I doing? So you start with small, achievable baby steps, 10 minutes. You know, I'm going to make sure that I take a walk for at least 10 to 15 minutes every day. That's great. that's a place to start. You know, it depends on where you are and where your body's at, but committing to a small change is going to be much easier to accomplish, and then you can celebrate when you do it. Yes, look what I did. I did yoga 10 minutes every day this week. That's awesome. Makes you feel motivated, makes you want to keep doing it, and so next week you do it for 15 minutes a day, and pretty soon you accumulate. You don't have to do it all at once. So that's something I want to bring in here, is like these small baby steps, especially with physical work that you haven't been doing. Okay, so then we have the aspects of nature, nature connection that speaks to our spirit, speaks to our soul. All of nature, plants, trees, animals, rivers, stones, mountains, places, sacred places, sacred wells, waterfalls. Like, these places all have wisdom for us, and they all are speaking to us all the time if we let ourselves open our hearts and listen. And so one of the things that I want to cultivate in this process of renewal, and, you know, it's something I do in my own life, is how to connect with nature every day. And it can be small. I mean, this can be like your garden or your house plants. In the winter, you know, that's what you have. And you spend 5 to 10 minutes really listening and really connecting and really opening yourself to what nature has to say to you. It is going to be starting to be spring as we're doing the renewal program. And so I will encourage people to go outside and connect with things like stones or flowers or pieces of places on the land or plants that you have growing around you or just a tree in your backyard. Like, it doesn't have to be huge, massive hike out to the biggest mountain in town. Like, you can go out to the dandelion in the crack outside your office and connect with it, and that's nature. So we just have to open ourselves to allowing these wisdom and this these messages to come through from nature to us. Science is really showing us that a lot of our disconnect in our unhappiness in our culture is related to a lack of nature. It's important about seeing the relationship. Like, we are part of this earth as much as anything else, and disconnecting ourselves from it doesn't actually prolong or help the well-being of humanity or of nature, the environment, right? It's primarily this disconnect, this lack of relationship that our culture has with nature that has created so many environmental problems. And one of the best books I've ever read, and I just finished it, and I highly recommend it, it's all about relationship with nature. It's written by Robin Wall Kimmerer. It's called Creating Seagrass, and I've been talking about it, so a lot of people have already probably got it. But I just cried through the whole thing because the things that she says in this book or the things that I keep hearing from nature, from the land, from the spirits that I work with in nature. And it's what I strive to do in my own life, you know, and like, how do we have relationship with the world and with nature so that we can all come back into a place of balance and health and well-being and environmental destruction stops and our spirits are whole. Like, this is where we need to go with that connection with nature. Some of the things that I find are really easy to do, gardening is a good one, especially if you already do it. Even if you just have a few pots on your patio that you connect to those plants, hugging trees is great. I love to hug trees. That's a really great way to open yourself up to nature and allow yourself to connect with another being in nature. Making offerings is something I like to do. It can be tobacco, it could be cornmeal, it could be a little mandala that you make underneath a tree. Just find little ways to say thank you and give gratitude to the planet that supports our life. Doing a sit spot, this is something that is done a lot in nature awareness programs and wilderness training, where you go sit in the same spot for 10 minutes to 30 minutes, quietly, still not doing anything, not really meditating, but you're just sitting and observing nature. In being with nature. So you can do a sit spot. Nature journaling is really great, especially if you're in a winter climate where you may not be able to go outside all the time. You could sit and observe the birds that come to your feet or, you know, and journal about that or draw the landscape, or paying attention to when the sun and the moon is rising, the weather pattern. One of the best things I ever did when I moved into Arizona, I was new to the desert, was I kept the nature journal, and I wrote every day, you know, the time the sun and the moon rose, and the weather, and what was happening in nature, what was happening in my garden, things that just I noticed that happened. And I recognized after a year of doing that, like, as the years went on, these patterns that I became really connected with and understood on a different level because I tracked them, because I paid attention to them. It wasn't outside, out of mind. It was something that I really intended on focusing on. And so those connections were really strong and really fostered by that, and I felt really at home in the land that I had chosen to live in. And of course, you know, doing anything outside. So let's say your exercise of choice movement is hiking. For me, that's going out in the woods. I'm going to spend half an hour hanging out with trees, moving my body, feeding my spirit, and feeling good about myself. Like, that's a total win. Like, why wasn't I doing that before? You know, I don't know. There's all sorts of excuses I could give, but reality is I wasn't, and now I'm choosing to do that because it feeds me. And so you got to find those ways to blend these things too. You know, this is not about six separate things you have to regiment in your life. Find ways to make them all work together. Okay, and spirit. To talk a little bit, you know, our spirit is a vital, vital piece of us as a human being, and it serves us when we're in moments of challenge. It's really, you got to find a practice that helps you get out of your humanity. It helps you get out of your ego in your head, because we all have these human emotions. We get angry, we get jealous, we get triggered by this or that. And really, it's just humanity. It's just who we are as human beings. And we can step outside of that and move into that place of connection with something that's bigger than us. And it doesn't matter what you call it. It really is about what is in alignment for you and what feels right for you. There has to be a level of discipline in the practice. I think whatever your path is, whether it's self-devised or something that you are following from a teacher, like, discipline to do the practices regularly is really important, and it really feeds us on a level that just kind of dabbling doesn't do. I know when I sit with my Mesa and I do my breath work every day and I get grounded every day, my days go a lot better. I feel really connected with spirit. I feel really connected with my heart. I feel really like I'm making a difference in my own life and in the lives of others. When I don't do that, when I get off track, I feel like I'm kind of floating around, like, I don't know what I'm doing. What am I supposed to be doing? I don't feel happy. I don't feel fulfilled. So the spiritual practice really helps me feel connected and grounded and in alignment with myself and my heart. If you're starting a spiritual practice or path, you got to start with simple, just like with the exercise. You can't, like, say, I'm going to sit down and meditate for an hour every single day from now on, because you're probably not going to do that. You're going to get overwhelmed. You're going to get frustrated. So you start with simple things. I'm going to sit at my altar or my, you know, whatever you want to create, a sacred space, and for 5 minutes every day and journal. Or I'm going to sit there and I'm going to meditate on the plant for about 5 minutes. Whatever it is, but make it small and achievable if you're just starting your practice. You can do meditation. You can do breath work. You can do prayer, you can do gratitude practice, compassion practice, you can do shamanic journey work. It can be overlapping with your nature practices. Like, for me, nature and spirit are very much tied together. So you really, it's about getting out of your head, getting out of your ego, getting out of that, like, human thing that we get stuck into, and we run around in there and, like, create these crazy stories in our head about what is true and what isn't. Get out of that and connect with what it is that's bigger than us, what it is that makes the whole thing go, like this magic and this sacred energy that is present in the world and that is permeating everything, whatever you call it. It doesn't matter the name, as long as it is connected with what you feel in your heart is divine and sacred. And the other thing I want to mention about spiritual practice, this is like energy body hygiene. Okay, so we know we take a shower every day and we brush our teeth every day. Why don't we take care of our energetic and our spiritual hygiene every day? It's something that I teach students is that, you know, we need to pay attention to our energetic body, our spiritual body, as well as our physical body. And so these practices, breath work and journey work and, you know, clearing the stones or working with plant medicines in each of your chakras, these things help us keep our energetic, spiritual bodies clean, well-functioning, you know, detoxing the negative juju that comes through and, like, refilling it with positive light and nourishment from that source that is divine, but it's sacred. So it's really, like, this is daily hygiene for your spiritual self, which is basically how we see it. Okay. Finally, this purpose, this heart calling, this thing that is why we're here. Why did we show up here on the planet at this time, in this body, in this personality? We have a unique gift. Each of us has a gift from our soul that we're here to bring into the world. And we, you know, our life is about discovering that. Our life is about sharing the journey that we go on to find what it is we're here to do and to share. And some of us find it sooner than others. Some of us spend a lot of time doing something that we're not feeling is our purpose in life. And maybe we don't even know what it is because we haven't had time to explore it. But one of the things that I want to encourage is for us to take baby steps. Again, every day, baby steps to connect with what it is our heart is calling for in our lives. Even if we don't have the big picture, like, that's okay. But we can listen in and tune into this place of wisdom. Our heart is really wise, and it holds so much for us, so many gifts. So we tune in there and say, okay, what is it that you are wanting to bring into the world today? What is it that I want to shout from the tallest mountain in the land so that people will hear it and know it? Like, this is the message that you want to share with the world. And, you know, if you don't feel in your life that you have a purpose, that your life has meaning, and you feel just like you're going through the motions and disconnected from things that bring you joy, you're not going to be well and you're not going to feel good. You have to find ways to connect with what it is you're here to do. It doesn't necessarily mean you're going to quit your job, but you're going to find ways to connect with your gifts and share them in your life with the people in your community, with your family, whoever it is that it needs to be shared with. You know, another question you can ask is, what legacy do you want to leave in the world? Because we're only here for a certain amount of time. And, you know, whether our names are forgotten or not is not so much important, but it's like, what gift did we leave behind for our communities, for our families? You know, what do you want people to say and remember about you when you're not here anymore? Those are the kinds of things that our heart is asking us to do in our lives. And so we're going to work with taking those baby steps to do that. So, you know, I kind of want to get wrapped up here. The class, this renewal program that I'm offering, one is something I want to do for myself. I'm doing it because I want to do it, because I need to do it. I'm sitting there in the car crying, and how did I get so far off track? And I'm like, I need to do this for myself. It was one of those moments where I felt like Spirit was just like, hey, you can do this, and you can share it. And this is what I'm offering anybody who feels like they want to get back on track with your self-care, with your diet choices, with herbs that you want to take to nourish your body. I'm going to try and make this as not overwhelming as possible. We're going to each make one commitment for each of the six pillars that we're working with. We're not going to do 20,000 different things. We're going to make one commitment to ourselves. And we're going to have an accountability aspect where we're going to each have a buddy or a group or people that we can connect with in a smaller group rather than a large class, who can help us stay accountable, who can help us celebrate, and who can help us maintain the commitments that we want to make for ourselves, right? I'm going to provide lots of recipes. I'm going to provide lots of herbal formulas and ideas, practices to choose from, to you know, and if you already have practices, if you already have herbs that you work with, you can use those. I'm just offering you resources from my experience as a practitioner, as a clinical herbalist, as nutritionist, as, you know, this person who's on my spiritual journey as well. What things have worked for me, which things I like, and I love to cook, and I love to make potions, and people are always asking me for recipes. So I'm going to give you the recipe. I'm also going to provide a group call every 2 weeks. We're going to get together on the phone like we are right now and chat about questions you might have or challenges that have come up. So it gives us an opportunity to connect as a community and for you to hear my voice and my process as well. So a couple of things I want to mention before I open up for questions. I'm going to offer you all a deal who are on this call or listening to the recording. If you want to sign up with your buddy who's going to do this work with you, and it can be somebody you are on the phone with or email with, it doesn't have to be in your town. You guys can sign up together as a buddy for a discount for the renewal program. It's right now until March 10th, it's $89 to sign up, which I hope is affordable. If that's not going to work, we can do payment plans. I have that set up. But if you sign up with your buddy before March 10th, it's $75 each, so you get a discount on joining together. And you need to email me to get that deal. It's shamana.flora@gmail.com, and I'll send it out in the email after the course or after the class. So if you want to take advantage of that, you just need to contact me, and we'll make it happen. I'm also offering 2 free spots to the class if you go to my blog at shamanaflora.com. There's a blog post which you can share to enter in the giveaway for 3 spots in the renewal program. And the directions on how to do that are on the blog post. So what I'm going to do now is, if you would like to ask any questions, the way to do so would be to hit *6. I believe that will unmute yourself, and you can ask your question. And then when you're done asking your question, go ahead and remute yourself, *6. So we don't have everybody's noise going on. But I'll open this up for questions. Anybody who wants to throw something out about anything, the class, or what I talked about? Anybody out there?
Hi, Darcy.
Hi.
Hi. Here's my question. How are you going to address now we're just overwhelmed a lot and feel like there's too much to do.
Mm-hmm.
I just wondered what thoughts you have about that.
Well, let me just repeat the question here. Is like how to deal with that feeling of overwhelm that we have too much to do in our life. And like I totally deal with that in my daily life too. I think one of the things to really we're going to have to reiterate over and over again is baby steps. Like, we're not going to do all of these 6 pillars at once. We're going to start with 2 weeks. We're going to work on the food piece. And so we're only going to do that piece for those 2 weeks to make it simple. You're going to make one commitment. It's not going to be you have to make all of the recipes in the lesson. These are tools and resources which will be available to you forever. But to choose really achievable small goals that will help you take these steps for wellness. I think having routine is really helpful too. So creating a routine for yourself that you're going to get up and you're going to do this thing, or you're going to prepare your meals ahead of time on Sunday, you know, so that you have it ready for the week. But finding simple ways to make it easy. One of the things I do with herbs and infusions, it's hard to remember to make your infusion every night. So sometimes it's better to just line up 6 jars on the counter, fill it with your dry herbs, put a lid on it, and then the next day you can pour the water on one of your jars and it's ready to go. You don't have to prepare it every single day. So there's little tricks that I'll try and throw in for each of the aspects, each of the pillars, to make it simpler. But really it is about making small baby steps. So hopefully that was helpful.
Darcy, I was curious, you talked about a book that you were reading.
Mm-hmm.
Could you name the book again?
The name of the book is Braving Sweetgrass. It's by Robin Wall Kimmerer. It's really, really good. It's in paperback. You could probably find it used. I'm not sure. It's not like brand new. It is a really amazing book. And she's writing from a perspective. She's both Native, and so she has a connection with Native spirituality and traditional use of plants and that. But she's also a scientist. And so she teaches science and ecology classes. And so she's got this nice blend of the two in her writing.
I'm having a hard time hearing that. Could you maybe put that in the email that you send out with the...
I sure will. Yeah.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Any other questions? So one thing I'll just add while I'm waiting for another question here is for the duration of the program, I'm going to be offering a discount on personal sessions with me because the program is a group program. Not everything is going to be tailored to each individual person. If you're feeling like you need extra suggestions that are personal to you and really unique to your situation, I can offer a pretty good discount on personal calls so that we can talk about it more in detail. We can make informed choices about what is going to work best for you based on my, you know, guidance and coaching and experience as a clinical herbalist and nutritionist. So you won't have to feel like you're in the dark in that regard. Like I'm available to kind of coach you through the questions that you might have that are more specific to you as an individual. But the thing I found with these classes that have really amazing community support, and like you throw out a question, you're going to get support from all the people in the class, in the group, in ways that are just so amazing and nourishing, far more than I could do as an individual even. The last program I did, the Everyday Sacred, these amazing people are supporting each other in such beautiful ways because they're all doing this work together. And so that's kind of what I really hope to foster here, too, is that this community will support each other as we're doing this work, whatever questions you have or challenges that come up. It's just about 3 o'clock here. It's been an hour, and I want to keep the call to about an hour. But if there's any last-minute questions, I'm happy to answer them or throw them out. If you are on the recording and you didn't get a chance to ask your question live, please do email me and I will try to get back to you. Okay, any more questions? I'm going to wrap up here. Okay, I'm going to take the silence that there are no more questions at the moment. If you think of something, please do email me, and I'll try to get back to you as soon as I can. And I will send out the recording and the information in an email, I believe, tomorrow. The weather's making the internet kind of slow today, so thank you for joining me. I'm really looking forward to working with some of you in the renewal course, and I hope that this information kind of helped you figure out, regardless of the course or not, like where it is that you need to support yourself and some ideas you can work with to get yourself back on to a place where you're feeling nourished and vital and alive in your world. Thanks, everyone. Have a great day.